to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
The light, if the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight, at arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
Now, there is this thing that normally happens in dreams where you dream that someone else is dead. You wake up, you're like, who's that person died? You forget about it. Then 1 week later, a close person dies. Then you are confused, like, but I dreamt that one. How come it's this one who has died? How many have ever had that issue where you look at that? You dreamt someone, maybe someone that's close to you. Or maybe normally it's someone who's not close to you. This is inconveniencing. Maybe it's someone who's not close to you. In reality, it's someone else. That's just how dreams are. Sometimes the strength of our giftings differ. For some of us, when we have a dream of that nature, it will be as confusing as that. Now, when a dream is confusing, the capacity to interpret it lies in the insight that you have developed on the inside. The Bible says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, then the old men shall dream dreams. So it takes age to deal with dreams. That's why dreams are for old people. You've got to be old in the spirit sometimes to understand dreams. So, at the stage where I've reached, if I have a dream, for example, that maybe a car bashed someone that I don't know, maybe someone from afar, I'll begin praying for everyone very close to me. Because normally that's what happens. It means that someone very close to you could have danger. But the way information is communicated in the spirit is also dependent on the strength of your gift or a random supply of the spirit. So like this one time, this old woman appeared to me in my dream. And then she says to me, come. So I was following her. And then she took me to a wheelbarrow. And there was a man in the wheelbarrow about to be taken away. And this man was very sick. Then she says to me, you need to offer intercessions for this man. Now I don't know him. Because no matter how much I tried to look, I couldn't see him on the face. But I was asked to offer intercession. So I began to pray, for preservation. When I woke up, I'm thinking, okay, why am I having this dream? Very weird. But then I felt like I shouldn't ignore it. So I began to pray and I began to fast. For 3 days, I began to pray. I began to fast. No, because I have made mistakes before. So this time, I have learned to be serious with such things. I will not tell you the mistakes I've made. I will just come out like, you know. So I went into the dimensions. Don't make mistakes. Okay, I will tell you one day so that you don't make the mistakes I made. You know, people can die. I've lost. And there's nothing as bad as feeling like you could have done something. That weight is so heavy. But that's a story for another day. So, suddenly I was told that my uncle is very sick. Then, you know, when you're already in prayer, there's just a connection. You say, this is the one I saw. Now, those were the COVID days. You know why he was on a wheelbarrow? Because people are just being picked and buried anyhow. So it's like, you know, when there's disaster, there's no proper burial. People are just carried. Did you see how they were carrying some people for cholera? They're just wrapping them, throwing them in a coffin. And there are certain places where when people die a lot, they just cremate. And in some places where they don't believe in cremation, they start burying them upright. Yes, because there's no space if we lay you down. Your friend also needs to be buried. And there are times when they just get a ditch and they throw everyone there. Human beings. So that wheelbarrow was symbolic of the nature of the death because of the times we are living in. But then the person was still hidden from me. I couldn't see the person. So the point I make is, it could well be someone close to you, but you will never know. It could be someone very close to you, but you will not know. But the important thing is the message that you can bring. The important thing is that the relationship should not live. It should die. A supernatural death. Since the dream was supernatural, praise the Lord. All right, let's go to the next dream.
Up, I'm looking at the face. If I know you, you will DM. Don't worry, I'll answer.
Good morning, Dad. Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity. I do not take lightly. So it's not just one dream, but it's multiple dreams that are similar. Hello. So there was this one time, first of all, where I stay, we have trees. So there was this one time that I dreamt. I was outside and it was nightfall. And I heard voices from the trees saying, this is the person that we want. Grab her. So now I started running and I ran into the house. That's how I woke up. That was the first dream. Again, I dreamt I was at a very tall building. And I was among a group of people, and among those people was mom. I slipped, and I almost fell. It was very tall. So if I fell, it was like a death thing. And I slipped, mom held me and put me back up. So when she put me back up, I woke up. There was this one time again that I heard a voice calling me, and I started following that voice, and it led me to a river. The river had muddy water and it was very rapid. So as I was walking, it was like I was in a trance and I couldn't control, I could just walk. The moment I almost fell into the river, mom called me. So it's like I woke up in the dream and I went back where I was coming from. And now there's this other dream that I dreamt I died. And when I died, there were people crying, and God was there, and he said, are you ready? God. He said, are you ready? He talked to me, he said, are you ready? But then among the voices that were crying, one stood out to me, and that was mom. So when he said, my mother. So when he said, are you ready? I asked him to say, what about mom? And in another dream, I dreamt I died again. I'm dead. I'm in the coffin now. So they were taking the coffin to go and bury it, but my spirit was still there. Yes. My spirit was still there, and I was screaming to say, please don't bury me. I'm still alive. I have to get back in my body. So these are the dreams that I've been having, Pastor. Thank you.
It's like a
Is it like
baptism? Pastor.
I see. Okay. Do you? So, because what we are all getting from this is that you probably have a very prayerful manner, but I want to. I'm wondering, have you ever had a female mentor or spiritual personality in your life? Okay. Your mother, which church does she go to?
Church.
And she's prayerful?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. So you need to take a seat, go give it to your mother. You need to honor your mother. Just honor her. You don't have to speak a blessing over you. Because it means for everything that the enemy has been trying to do, God has been looking at her as opposed to you. You know, a lot of times, if you study the Bible, you find that, for example, when God was not happy with Solomon, he began to say to him that, when the next people come after you, I will take the kingdom away from them. But not all of it. Then he says, because of my servant David. And even as you continue reading the book of Kings, you find that the more those people misbehave, the kings, the more they misbehave. I mean, every time they misbehave, God said, and I'm not saying he misbehaved, every time that they did something wrong, God said, I will punish you, but for my servant David. So it means that every time the enemy wants to touch you, he finds maybe your mother's prayers. You find there's something that your mother did that makes her voice very strong on all of you. And it lengthens your life. So no matter how much the enemy comes, he still finds that. Let me give you an example. Something happened to me. On one of these days, we wanted to honor my wife's father, so we took a receipt, we took money, a few thousands. Now this is a person. Not like a person who's like, maybe. Hallelujah. This is not like a person who's like, who even goes to. Come on, we name it. He's just, you know. But in any case, he's a parent. So we went to just honor him. And then, that night I had a dream that I was standing on a very high hill. Now, that hill had many doors around me, and I had a gun. Because I was manning, it's like I had something very valuable inside. And I was sure that I'd locked every door. But then he suddenly came from nowhere. And he said, it's like he was panicking, he was running. Then he says, you've not closed this door. I said, which one? Then I turned behind, then I found there's a door which was wide open. Then he came and he shut it and he locked it. So you can imagine of the many doors that I have closed in my life, there was one door that was left open. And there's no telling what could have been stolen had I not honored that man. I'm not just honoring it, I honor you. You need to honor your parents, huh? It's very important. Yeah. Especially those who have the opportunity of having parents that are alive. Whatever they've done for you, they are still your parents. Whatever you don't like, they are still your parents. So somehow, you know, because the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, the promise that you may live long, and that all may go well with you. You know, there's a particular kind of blessing which no one can give you except your parents. So then it is, well, focus on the word. So it then becomes very important for you to honor your parents. So your mother is prayerful. I'll tell you something about the power is very interesting. The most important thing is that someone has given their lives to Christ, they believe in the Lord Jesus, and they walk by faith. The moment that thing is there, God begins to honor those people. You know, some of the things that my mother helped me with, when I listen to her now, I don't know how to say this without sounding prideful. The depth I have gone to in studying of the word and in the things of the spirit, right? You know, sometimes when I'm listening to her, I'm like, we are different because I've invested more into this thing. And I'm saying, with her theology, how was she able to generate such power? This is a woman of God, by the way. But when you grow, you begin to notice how theology can be more accurate. But then, you know, the problem with this generation is that we've got very deep theologies, but we have no relationship with God. So you find that the amount of power that is coming out of us is not sufficient. So it's not even about which church she goes to or she doesn't go to. It's about, does she have a relationship with God? That thing is enough to keep you alive. You who is deep. You who's always listening to deep teachings. Praise the Lord. Also, remove that thing. The fact that that person is your parent, even if they are unsaved, deceived, minus saved, they are still a parent and they have something for you that only your parent can give you. Are we together? Yes. But we'll need to pray for you also, because we'll need to set you free. Those dreams for going in the mud, finding yourself in a coffin. Because you see, a person is keeping you alive, right? And I'm not saying by now you should have been dead. A person is keeping you alive. But now you need to stand on your feet. That's what we want to help you with, okay? Now you need to stand on your feet. Because what happens if that person is taken away? You're in trouble. You're next. So you need to stand on your... That's why it's important for you to not just keep saying, the God of my father. Someone said that before during a deliverance session. He says that, in the name of Jesus, that my spiritual father preaches. So at some point, you need to stand on your feet. Are you listening to me? At some point, you need to stand on your... You have to say, in the name of Jesus, whom I believe in. So that whatever we are bringing is adding to what you already have. Amen. Okay. Has that helped you? Good. Next. Yes. Mike.
Thank you for the opportunity. I do not take it lightly. My name is Faith.
You see, the dreams we are sharing here are so that when I minister to you, people are learning something, right? So, in other words, I'll need you to be loud when I give you the mic so that everyone can hear you.
Okay, can everyone hear me? How are you answering? All right. I had a dream that I was on a bus and it was like going uphill. There were like a few people on the bus with me. It was practically almost empty.
And okay, so I was saying that I had a dream that I was on a bus and the bus was going uphill. And there were a few people on the bus with me, like a very, very big bus. And as it was taking off going uphill, it started sliding, like going down, then it fell. Like it was turning into a river. But I don't remember getting in the water. So as it was failing, I remember praying and I was telling God that I can't die now.
So you're on a bus?
Yes.
The bus is empty?
No. There were a few people with me. But
who was driving? You don't remember?
No.
So it's going up a hill?
Yes.
And then suddenly?
It starts sliding down. Then it started turning.
Okay. And it's supposed to turn into a river.
Apparently.
Supposed to sink into a river.
Apparently there was water, yes, down. But I don't remember.
A river. Do you remember a river or you remember water?
I remember water.
Okay.
But I don't remember it actually getting in the water. But I remember seeing myself outside the bus alone, like on dry ground. But when it was falling, I remember praying. I was telling God to say, I can't die now. I feel like there are a lot of things I haven't done in my life. And this is not the time for me to die.
When it was flipping or when you were outside?
When it was flipping. I remember praying that. Yes, and then I found myself on the ground.
So I keep getting this feeling that you guys, you are not very many in your family. And then your salvation has set you aside from everyone else who's sinking, but everyone else is going to be sinking. Everyone else is going to be dying without God. But your salvation has set you aside. Okay, first, what are your comments on what I've said?
We're just three in my family.
Okay. So, how is your relationship with God?
It's good, I can say so. I always come back to God no matter what happens. I always find myself.
So sometimes you lose yourself?
Yes, no lie.
Okay, so how is their relationship as well with God?
Not very good.
Which ministry do they attend? Don't put on the mic.
They don't go to at the moment.
Sorry?
At the moment, they are not attending any ministry.
Okay, at the moment, they are not attending any ministry. You heard that?
So that was the dream. And the other dream, I dreamed that I was...
So we've interpreted the first dream. Number one, this is a family. There are few. Their relationship with God can be better. But they are all headed to the same place. God has kept you out, not just for yourself, but to pull them out as well. The first stage is prayer. You need to the first stage is work on yourself. Because now you are saying, I find myself. How are you finding yourself if you didn't lose yourself? So, whatever the losing is, you need to, you know, find a consistent space with God. And you know, many of you are like that. There are some of you, you come from a family, you know you are a few. But somehow, you always find yourself praying, you love church. God is calling you to be a gate. There are people called gates in families. If that person gets properly saved, everyone else can be saved. I'll give an example. The gate to the Mpem was this gentleman here, Pastor Flavian. Come. When Pastor Flavian got saved in 2014 at Unza in my office, who started coming to church afterwards? The first one was who? Firstly, you started causing confusion in your family group with your new doctrines. Then patience started coming, right? After patience, deaconess patience. And patience came because of him. After patience, who else?
Wesley, yeah, Linda started coming. Although Linda doesn't stay here. But Linda started coming. Linda is like, it's like your firstborn somehow. Because you are many, you guys. And then Shelly, where's Shelly? And then there's Pamela. Where's Pamela? Oh, she's working. Oh, okay. Then there's, she was even there yesterday. And then even Hope. Oh, we've forgotten Natasha. Natasha is executive director, Kitwe Church. Like, she's a top, top leader. Ah, Natasha troubled me. Huh? So are you saying that there are people like that, the moment, so you find that even the warfare on their lives is hard. So you find that the things you're struggling with, there are so many. Because the moment you give your heart properly to God, everyone else will get saved. So you find that the reason why you are struggling with yourself with many things is because the devil knows that when this one gets properly saved, I will lose the whole village. So it's to make sure you are having issues. You are sinning, you are going to church, coming back, you are not consistent. Because it's not just you. There are many people who are attached. You were the gate to your family. Stand. When you started coming to church, you are the first one who started coming. Who else came? Where's Irene. It doesn't matter. Whatever happens between all of you, she was the gate, this one. She was the person through whom you started thinking you could talk to Pastor Daniel. You are in China, right? At the time, I think. Stand. Then, afterwards, who else? There was patience.
Did you change anything? No, it's working.
Stand, patience. Then there was Michael. Michael used to come. He ditched me, but at least he used to come. Then there is... you. Who else have I left out? And then there's the other lady. There's your young sister, Alina. Where's Alina? Then there's the other one. I was saying actually don't have a department. Not Banatumelo. Even Banatumelo also. You can say, are you saying that? You can take your seat. I almost called you Elizabeth. Isabel. Okay. So, there are those kinds of people. Huh? Yes. There are those kinds of people. They are gates. So you find for them, either they are on fire for God or when they go on ice, you can't defrost. It's very difficult to defrost them. Oh, you're Lisa. Lisa, you are the gate. Stand. When Lisa got serious with Jesus, the brother came to church. Stand. Then afterwards, the twins, where are they? They're at school. Okay. But they come and you brought your young brother. Who else? You brought your sister. Just say hi to us. It's okay. Sorry for making you stand. Even mommy, you've dragged the whole village. Are you seeing that? You still want to drink the glory? Okay, thank you. You can see it. Are you seeing that? So there are those people in families who, the moment that... So you are the gate. So God is trying to show you that. I want to help a lot of people. Let me tell you this. I am the gate. I know God gave me the greatness. Because I now realize that Nothing happens in my family without me knowing. It doesn't matter. I fasted. I'm eating groundnuts. I will still know. I've known someone is dying. I've known someone. I knew when my young brother was dating and he thought I didn't know because I saw it. And I went to him and said to him, this one is the one. Someone is saying, I don't know about the other ones. I was not there in his past, you people. Okay. Disadvantages of being pastor's young brother. Now, we need to help you in counseling. We need to counsel you. We need to pray for you. And you need to make a decision. Because now, it means that there is a certain level of responsibility you have over your family. That's on your shoulders. As not long as they are, they are having, they are having the weight of a family. And what normally happens is, the moment that you don't take that seriously, it will take maybe two generations later. You know, Moses is born once in a generation. You can't have that kind of guy again. When Elijah finished his assignment, it took a number of people to carry his assignment. There was Elisha, there was Jehu. And even after he was long gone, Elijah, God had to still raise that kind of spirit in John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. There are certain people that are so hard to replace. They are very difficult to replace. So if you are the gate of your family and you lose yourself, to find that kind of a person again, maybe it will take 50 years. 50. Maybe 100 years. So the moment God calls you like that, don't take yourself lightly. You're an apostle to your family. Don't misbehave. You're not a cat with nine lives. So at first you will hang out with the first five. And then your agile last beginning from the 60th one. You just wake up one time speaking in tongues. Hey, Brutus! It don't work like that. There's no dress rehearsal. You have no rehearsal. Could it be that, no, you make a mistake at, no, let me reborn again. No, sir. Chilea, it was your gate. Stand. Your older sister, she didn't ditch me. She ditched me because she got married. So I met Chile. You know how I met Chile? We were preaching. So we preached. So we were about to go. We looked at her. She didn't look like she wanted to receive the word. Then she says, she was upset with us. Even me preached to me, where? So that's how we preached to her. She got saved. She brought her. Where's your young sister? Where's the Ando? Yeah. And at some point, you brought your sister from Chiluvi. Okay, you can take your seat. Who else has realized today they are the gate? If you are the first person to get saved in your family, you are a big gate. You can take your seat. Sorry? You and I will have an appointment. For now, let me allow another person. All right, you've learned something. Jesus, yeah. Let's try a gentleman this time. What's funny? I love some as well. Oh, yeah. Be strong in the Lord. Hey, are you still enjoying church somehow?
Okay. Hallelujah. Yeah, that was last week. I had a dream last week. And then in this dream, there was a lady. I was praying for her. And then this lady told me, She was like, you cannot do anything to us. Okay, it was that moment that, you're praying for someone, and then she looks at you and she'll be like, you can't do anything. You and your friend, no matter how you pray, you can't do anything to us. You are ours. Yeah. Ike, you're ours. That's what she said.
Yeah, cover. You know, when we were in high school, they would punish us to slash. How many have been punished to slash before in school? Now, there was that grass. When you hit it, it even falls a bit like this. Then it rises the seventh time. Where I came from, we used to call it chiketewiso, meaning go call your father. When you hit it. So somehow when you are telling me that, it's like demons were saying to you, you go call your spiritual father. You interesting. Okay. If you were there, dear daughter, I was telling you that. Do you remember what I was telling you? I was saying to you, have you been in a deliverance session before? Do you remember me saying that? Then I said to you, sometimes the way these evil spirits behave, they say you are ours. It's very good. So if you were there, you know that the insight I have is that when I hear that, I know there's an evil spirit. And I know that that's a family issue because it's claiming you, it's saying you are ours. There are evil orders that have been built in many families over long periods of time. And those house evil spirits which possess families. So there are some families which have a principality. And some have a particular strong man, an evil spirit, that is in charge of them. And it says to them, you are ours. You belong to me. The same way the Bible says, you were purchased not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, of Christ as of. So, the idea is this. Even you don't belong to you. You belong to Jesus. You were bought. But the other spirits who also feel like you were given to us, you belong to us. Now, when you're having that kind of dream, is that you are now beginning to pray. So when you are beginning to pray, they are feeling your prayers. No matter how small they are, even if you are doing small, you are praying, you are doing small, they are feeling them. So when you have a dream like that, it's a very good dream. Because it's showing you that there's a problem. There are certain dreams, if you don't have them, you will never know there's a problem. And that makes Satan very strong. You know there are some bad dreams you have. They are good. They are good, bad dreams. They are a necessary evil. Because they help you know what is there in your life that you need to deal with. Because had you not known through a dream, then Satan would have been powerful. Because one of the things that makes Satan powerful is working in the background. Working without being noticed makes Satan very powerful. That's why the Bible, someone said, one of the greatest lies that Satan told is that he doesn't exist. Because that way it means he can work incognito. So some of you need to ask God, Lord, is there anything that stands against me that I need to know? Then when you have a dream of a beast with 10 horns and a rotten body, don't freak out. Say, yes, namukwira. Because now you can deal with it or you can seek help. Are you following? You can now deal with it. You can seek help. There's this thing that Satan does. Okay? This is important for you to note. In the ministry of deliverance, there's what is known as intimidation. So a lot of times, if you face an evil spirit, whether in a person or in a dream or in the spirit, they try to make you feel like you are useless. Like they've been around for a long time. What do you think you are? So they will beat their chest. They will turn things up and down. You know, even in movies, villains talk a lot. Have you ever seen a movie? Villains are always talking. I've been waiting for you all these years. Now it's time for you to die. And then, boom, one kick. The villain is gone. There's one particular one I watched. The Hulk. And Loki kept talking. Then he just came on Loki. Cuckoo hit him left, right, center. It's okay. Never seen it. The point I make is they like showing off. It's a tactic in the spirit. They want to intimidate you. And when you wake up, you even feel like, whew, that was heavy. Even in deliverance, many times. There are many times in deliverance, they've come for me. And when they come for me like that, I have to. I am fit. I mean, there was this one time at WEM, we were praying for people, And I saw, there was this other person, I started feeling things that I skipped. I sent Pastor Gomesha there. I said, you are the one we fear. Can you go there? He went. Yeah. He ran. I went there. I was with Oliver. Some of you remember Deacon Oliver. The guy was buff, eh? He tried to hold her. She beat him in the shoulder. Now I'm sure when you see him, he still has a mark of ministry. So she sank her teeth in his flesh. And now, me, I'm like at a distance. Decreeing and declaring. You know, sometimes the wisdom in life is knowing when to run, right? It's okay to run. I don't like feeling pains in my body. So I was doing. So now Oliver washed her teeth was inside his flesh. He was wondering, should I use the name of Jesus or engage the gift he gave me? And then the moment she released him from her shackles, about three male protocol and three this side held her, and I wanted to pray for her. She threw them full. This side, full. Now I'm telling them, can you hold her? They all looked at me. And she ran outside. Now, you know how WEM used to be? It's packed. There are over 1,500 people. It's packed. So now I stand on the pulpit and I say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come back here now. And she stood. Why? Then she turned back like this. Like cyborg. Quichung. Now, where I'm standing there, I'm standing strong like this. In my heart, I'm singing, Nilimbiseni, Yawe, Nilimbiseni, Ineneka, Sinigarimbe, Oh, Yawe, Nilimbiseni, Yawe, Ineneka, Sinigarimbe. Now, I'm looking at this. Indisciplined horse. They're not holding her. They're all just, what's wrong with these people? They want to see something. So when she came. That's when I also noticed that my bladder was full. But you never had such strange experiences. That team who has no bladder cast the face. So I'm standing there. And when she reaches, now I gather the few strengths I had. And I said, I command you to kneel. She now knelt at night, cried. Now it looked like, yeah, no, I knew this would happen. You know, the grace on my life, the grace. Then we prayed for that girl. By the way, at night, God took me back to that place to show me the evil spirit we're dealing with. And this happens to me. So we went back, and I began to see she had an evil spirit that looked like, for those who do comics, like Hydra. Have you ever read about a Hydra? So a Hydra is a sea monster that has many heads, and when you chop off one, another one grows. So now the moment she knelt, I now said to the ushers, don't worry, you can pick her up. So it tries to intimidate. They intimidate. It's not that they are powerful. It's that they want you to fear, because fear is their weapon. So they want you to be afraid. So even in life, sometimes, even if, you know, as we experience that 3D, they hit you. So this other day, we are in church. Me, I'm laying hands. I just said, I sent my pastors. Be strong in the Lord. But I've been beaten before, so don't worry. I will just never tell you those stories. It doesn't make my calling any less powerful. So what you do is, here's a point I want to make. Sometimes in life, it may not be that you have met this evil spirit, because some of you may not have these experiences. But there are intimidating things that happen in life, scary things. You don't know where your rentals are going to come from. It's Satan tries to use intimidation. You don't know how you are going to feed for the next 1 month. You don't know if you are going to make it in an exam you wrote. You don't know if anyone is going to marry you. Even men, sometimes they go through that. You know, there are men who they've tried many relationships. Now, it's Satan is talking to them. He uses a tactic of intimidation. It's intimidating. You've just lost your job. Meanwhile, you are planning on having a wedding. Satan uses intimidation. The solution is the same. Whether you meet an evil spirit or you meet a situation, the solution is the same. You need to stand there in the name of Jesus. You don't use the name of Jesus like it's a, you are like throwing things. Jesus' name. No, you don't use the name of Jesus to run away. You use it to stand. Because it means you are bringing the person of Jesus into the path. Are you listening to me? So, and sometimes what happens is, in time, you begin to gain strength. If you ever see a warfare in your life, whatever it is, don't leave it hanging. Don't leave it hanging. There are some dreams you had, a snake came to visit you, it talked to you, asked you how you are, you said you are fine. It then just moved in your leg and left. And you woke up and said, oh, what a dream. And you continue it in Shima. Someone came to sleep with you in the night. Then you woke up and said, I hate this dream. We all hate it. What did you do about it? Sir, we are in Africa. You need to declare a fast. Even just 3 days. Serious fast. And when you're done with that fast, now come, we lay hands on you. No, end of part one. It's a question, please ask. You can ask. I can hear you.
Okay, sir, there's this situation that I'm facing in my life. Filial example, like one book paper, like you put, okay, can I paper you, so you make a decision. And then there's just some attacks, you know, and you,
yeah,
like that moment, that's how you shop, but why can't I just live a normal life like other Christians do? This, I'm not attacks here, I'm not, no, I'm attack, and you'll be like, So like okay, like there are a lot of battles. How many battles are there?
You know, at UNSA we will deal with this. This Wednesday, I'm going to be dealing with this issue. Eh? Let's go.
Okay, so like
I feel you, bro. Why I'm laughing is because I can relate. Let's go.
Okay, so like there are some attacks like Kwandida ancestral waters, my area, in town. You know, like, there's just a lot of attacks. And you'd be like, because if I stay, like, for 3 days without praying, as in, what are you no more? You don't feel yourself. Like, the attacks are so many. Marine spirit, like, everything. And you'd be like, okay, why me? Why me? You see, you know that thing, and you'd be like, and then the thing is this. When I start praying, yeah.
Let's go.
Okay, so like the thing is this. When I start praying, like now I feel serious.
How many are feeling like that? Like you've been there where like you're praying, but okay. Let's go.
Okay, yeah. So like when I was serious, that's okay. I just want to be close to God. They already know my weakness. You have a fame more.
Now, don't fill in the blanks, brethren. Don't fill in the blanks. You don't know what it is. Let's go, continue.
Okay, yeah. So, they know.
Every kingdom. Let's go.
Okay, yeah. So,
by the way, thank you so much for being very frank. We will learn a lot from you. Let's go.
Okay. So, like, yeah, just like I said, I've got one weakness. Yeah, Charlie, if not, no problem. Damn, you know. Yeah. So they know. And then it's like this. Why Pella feeling, but 4 days or 5 days? I'm going to prepare for you. Now, I want to tell you, and you're just praying. My tax, Pastor. You'd be like, you know, like, no, as in, no, because for example, like, if you look at other people when they are doing business, the way things they are going for them, I was like, Melissa, you know, like, it's just way too much. So, like, I really want to understand, you know, like.
We have a situation. Wow. Okay. Maracora da Carabias. Okay, listen. Firstly, don't forget everything else I taught you. You know, there are times when your pain is too much that no matter how much truth you hear, every time they tell you the solution, you want to explain a new problem. You get my point? So, like, everything I told you at first is what deals with even this same, the new ones you've told me. Because I will not tell you this fresh revelation. It's extra biblical. This is it. You can take a seat. Let me explain something. When I was young, sometimes it's just the length of the warfare. The strength of the warfare and the steadfastness of your willingness to fight it until it breaks. When I was very young, I used to have very bad dreams. Very bad. And I was so fearful. And I was so sick. You know, when we were young, my young brother and I used to have eczema, right? Him, he only had on the legs. Me, I had everywhere, private, public, everywhere. And sometimes I would hide because I never wanted them to know. And the injection they used to give me was that penicillin something. That one with a long, sharp. And sometimes I would hear them even saying that,
This is the one we give for those who've got STIs. When we give, they don't repeat. That's the one they would give me. And that's the one they take like 5 minutes to give. They are even like this. And then you feel it. First, when it's entering, you feel it. Then when the medicine is traveling. Now, I was very young and I would ask myself, but why? I never understood why. What have I done to deserve this? And that went on for years. On top of it, I was also asthmatic. And I was very playful. So I would rush out to play in the rain because I love the rain. The moment I just smell the rain, I will be down. And sometimes they'll take me to the hospital twice. There was even one time when I was getting off the sick bed. As I was getting in the car, I fainted. So they took me back. My grandmother even gave me a name at Lufoma. Because I was breathing out. That's how I was breathing. So I never understood why. And this, I'm talking about, it went on for years. Years. Then on top of it, bad dreams. They were so, I didn't know what I did to the devil. Sometimes you just feel like calling, come sit. There are many countries where there's money. Why don't you go there? There's this joke. This guy is so broke and he lives in a very good house. So the thieves check out that house and they're like, we're going to steal from there today. So they go to steal. When they break in, first they are disappointed. They find there are no locks. You know, because you plan that we will break in. Then you find you are entering instead. So now they find the house has an echo. There's nothing. He is broke. So they wake him up and say, bro, where are the things we want to steal? Then he now says to them, there is money here. Even me, show me, I want it. So the thieves now feel sorry for him and they give him some seed. They say, okay, plant something so when we come next time, we can have something to steal. But here's the point I make. If the enemy is after you, it means you've got something stealable. The enemy comes after those who have something. And I never knew I had something. But remember what I told you something. We don't pick our battles. Our destinies pick our battles. What you carry is ancient. It was in God before you existed. He says, I knew you before you were born and I called you as a prophet. So you find the kind of warfare that the child is having. He doesn't understand it. But the young man is having the warfare of an old man. Because what he carries is old, it's ancient. So sometimes the kind of attacks you are experiencing are indicative of the destiny that you carry. So you need to look at yourself. Some of the troubles you've been having, some of the temptations you've been having, they are showing you. And many times, it's in the area of your calling that your warfare lies. A lot of times, you find you've got a calling to preach purity, then you are the masturbation expert. You don't even explain it. You know, you find there are people, they like to discuss finances, but they don't even have a one quarter. Because God has called them to preach wealth. God wants them to be a symbol of wealth in the body of Christ. But then they are thinking, how do I preach wealth when I don't even have nothing? You don't have it. So how do you preach wealth? Because your area of your calling is where you experience attacks the most. Jesus was called to give life. When he was born, every child 2 years and below died. Every male child. Moses was to deliver people. When he was born, 2 years and below children died. Because he's got a calling towards life. So Satan wants to remove you away from that by bringing death. So when you begin to understand that, it gives you an idea of the nature of warfare that you're experiencing. So now, as I grew up, I realized that God had called me to bring life, to bring wisdom, to bring encouragement. It took me time. I remember there was this one time, the more I began to study the word of God, I began to know the authority I have in Christ. But even if I say, in the name of Jesus, I bind you when sleeping, it will still come and say, what are you binding? Let's go. And that went on for years. But remember what I told you. Sometimes it's the steadfastness, your willingness to fight. Don't give up. Don't give up. One day I even went to my pastor to pray for me. I said, pray for me, I've been having bad dreams. He says, get out, I've touched everything, you know. You go to pastor, pastor tells you, get out of here. What? Why are you coming with demons in this? Everything I've taught you, you want to be prayed for. I said, hey, okay. That was my biological father as well. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 12, let us lay aside every sin and weight which so easily ensnares us. It says, let us lay aside. That means we've got the power to lay aside. Look, God cannot ask you to do something that he knows you are incapable of doing. He says, let us lay aside. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 from the Amplified. I don't know if it's 5 or 15. It says, let us kill, deaden, put to death every evil desire living in your body. God can't tell you to kill something he knows you don't have power to kill. Sometimes the issue is also in the strategy of killing that sin. Because that sin could be the link that Satan is using to connect you to an order, to connect you to poverty, to connect you to pain. So now you need to master. There are some sins you need to master. You know, there are people who, they are good Christians. The only problem they have is that they are angry. When they are angry, you would call them the God of anger. Because the anger they have, what they are capable of saying and doing, you can't believe it. And if you are dating someone like that, when you notice that level of anger, they call off the relationship. Because that one can kill you and say, oh, what have I done? Then God will forgive them. Are you following? Friend, there's that one issue that just eats that person up. You know, there are people who their issue is, Satan knows, they can pray, that's not their issue. Their only issue is, when it comes to girls, they are confused. There are times when they don't know whether they are dating or they are single, they have a thing with someone. So when you find they have prayed, they have fasted, they've broken up with this one, now they want to continue with the Lord, it's just them and the Lord. Then they will meet someone. Satan will make sure he sponsors a meeting. Then they will meet someone. And then the way she will just talk to them, she will just feel like the one. Then they are now, instead of praying for other people in their sitting, they will now go before God, Lord, is she the one? Now, that's the only prayer point. So you are in a loop. If you are confused about girls or about men and you've got a number in your life, here's what you do. Are you listening? You go to your prayer place and you say to God, from now on, I am shutting myself from all men until you lead me. You now need to lead yourself into not being led into people. The Bible says, it's not good for man to be alone, so I'll make him a. But how did God do it? He took Adam into a deep sleep. Then he pulled out his wife. So some of you, what you need is that deep sleep. You stop looking at men. I know you are single, but the problem is that you are free to mingle. So when you are praying, you are not praying to God, telling him, Lord, guide me. You are saying, Lord, is he the right one or the wrong one? Some of you need to be in a place where you are just saying, Lord, guide me. Not, Lord, I am confused. He went into a deep sleep, especially men. Sleep some. You know, there are people who, when they are single, they are confused. Because now they see all these women, they're like, hey, that church. They even get heartbroken when they discover she's dating. They go, they check. You like someone from afar, they never wore a ring. When you go the next week, they say,
you say, you go to greet them, how are you? Then when they do with their left hand, they say, how are you? You find a ring here, you're heartbroken. Also, you people who like wearing rings in the wrong place, you need to stop. You are chasing away men. Why are you wearing a ring where you're not supposed to wear it? And is that the way that's why you find yourselves in strange marriages. Why are you wearing a ring where you're not supposed to wear it? Who are you dating or engaged to? Only wear it. And all the men said, yeah. So they are victims. They've been assaulted before. They like someone, they find a chirin. Listen, do you know why I'm teaching this thing passionately? I experienced it. Singleness can be confusing. Especially in a sea of beautiful women. Singleness can be very disturbing. I've been there, I've walked the path before. I saw this one. I said, Jesus. And the way she's just talking, the way she knows the way. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, Lord, that one. As I'm passing, I meet another one. I'm like, oh, no, this one. Don't tell my wife I taught you this message. And then I met another one. I'm like, okay. This one. Meanwhile, I'm a good man. You can be good and confused. Till now, I went to God and you see, my friend, Apostle Fred, said to me, you, stay away from my mentees. Not that I was all over the place. No, I never talked to the women. But him is my friend. I would be saying to him, have you seen? And I said, do you know this man is right? When he says, stay away from my mentees, they are the ones. Okay, we got from there. I now went to God and said, no, I'm a man of God. I can't live this life. And I started seeing I said, from now on, every woman will be a living spirit. So all women that were in my... Now, by the way, I never looked at anyone who is in my mentorship. For those, I looked at them as biological children. So not one can come and stand and say, you vibed me, forget. It's just principles. Because imagine if I make one of them a mama and the other people never looked at her like that. You are killing the church. You are not ready for this kind of conversation, huh? You are not in ministry. Okay. So I closed my eyes. It didn't matter how you looked. I looked at you. In fact, ask them. I used to tell them, our relationship is professional. I used to look at every woman as a living spirit. Beyond the flesh, I was focusing on the spirit. It helped me. Until God now came to me and said, no, sir, I've not called you to singleness. There is your wife. God had to speak to me. But men, you know why I'm telling you this? I'm trying to help you not make a mistake. You can trust God to lead you to a woman. Men, you can trust God to guide you to a person you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with. Not after you've talked to this one, then when you discover the problem they have, they now say, I need to seek the face of the Lord. You are a fool. You now want to seek the face of the Lord now that I have got feelings. Sir, you will date me. You will continue, you will marry me until you fall in love with me. In Jesus' name. And all the ladies said,